I've got Jackie Forbes in the studio from Parakore. Good morning.
Morena.
So you are your job title, Kaihautū Matua. What is that? What is? Tell us what that means, Jackie, because you just told me off the air that's what the job title was.
Kaihautū perhaps is to steer.
Yeah.
So if you think of a waka, maybe it's, you know, the seat number 6, is it?
Yeah.
Steering, and matua means kind of like the mane.
Yeah, so. Yeah. A lot of us are familiar with matua if our kids have been through school and
well it's different. Like it's different. It's not like that matua.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different it means like the main one.
The main one.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And I mean, I'm used to talking, like I talk to people from council and bureaucratic people who have job titles that don't make much sense, or did you design that title yourselves?
No, it's a name for general manager.
Okay.
Or
okay, all right. I'm just curious to see, sort of see. Yeah. So for people who don't know, Parakore is about zero waste on marae, and started here in Whangaroa with the local marae. And how far has it spread around the country?
Shall I go back and talk about how we got started?
Well, if you just tell us like the number of, yeah, and then we'll go back to the start, because it kind of puts it in perspective.
We got up to not 800 marae, but 800 marae, kura, kohanga reo, community groups, hahi groups.
That's a much larger number than I was expecting.
Yeah, but the marae part would have been somewhere about 220 marae.
Wow.
However, we have changed how we work now due to some funding cuts.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, so back to the start. I remember you were working for Extreme. You were one of the staff up there, like on the education or communication kind of side of things. So was this, where did the spark for this idea come from?
Yeah, it was 2008, and I started working at Extreme in 2004, and Gannon Ormsby, he was working at the Waikato Regional Council, and he was calling Māori together for meetings to talk about how much waste was being generated on marae in short periods of time at the hui.
Mm.
And Susa Cooper was also working there at the Waikato Regional Council. She left Extreme Zero Waste and was there. Mariana Tyler as well. So between Gannon, Susa and Mariana Tyler, they were really advocating and looking for pathways forward that could reduce waste, work towards zero waste on marae.
Yeah, okay. And they called you, or they called Extreme? Oh, yeah.
So I was coming. So there's a group of us, and we were having meetings in 2008. Penny Campbell was also another founder of Extreme, was attending those meetings. And they, Mariana wrote a scoping report, and what it came to was Jackie, write an application to the Sustainable Management Fund at the Ministry for the Environment for marae recycling. And because if you do it under the banner of Extreme, it was Extreme Waste at that time, then, you know, you'll receive probably 80% of the funding. And it didn't really fit into the scope of the kind of work that Waikato Regional Council do.
Mm,
so
yeah.
So we applied, I think it was January 2009, for a 3-year project. We were successful. I think the project started in July 2009 under the umbrella of Extreme Waste.
Was it just to do at one marae?
It was to, it was a pilot program. It was to pilot the program. The first marae were Poihakina here.
Yes.
Kirikiri Roa marae, which is the urban marae in Kirikiri Roa, and Turanga Waiwai marae. So that those were the first three
marae that
joined the program.
Okay, so it wasn't just, in my head I just imagine it sort of grew out of Extreme, but it grew out of people from it who'd been involved with Extreme, but it was much wider.
Yeah, it was never managed by Extreme, so we always had our separate steering committee, as we called it, and in November 2010.
It might have looked like it, because did you just keep working in the Extreme office?
Yeah. So in 2010, we became our own incorporated society.
Okay. And what was the ambition with it? Like, it's a pilot. I guess there's a lot of a bit of experimentation. Like, we know what we want to do, but how are we going to do it? We need to find out.
Our first mission was, by 2020, all marae are working towards zero waste.
You guys were ambitious.
We were always national. It was always going to be a national program. And I guess what helped the development and growth of this kaupapa was that when we finished that first Sustainable Management Fund project, the Waste Minimisation Fund had come about through the 2008 Waste Minimisation Act. So we were like, hey, look at this fund, let's apply to it. And we can do the same thing in different regions. And so we wrote our little business plan about how we were going to have this, parakore would be everywhere. And we kept applying to this Waste Minimisation Fund each year, and we were successful most of the time. So we were well supported by the Waste Minimisation Fund in our growth and development.
Would you say that, like, the zero waste message is, like, these days we just kind of live it here in our community to a large degree? Not everybody, but in a way that we didn't, in the early 2000s. Would you say the message was that Extreme was trying to get out was not getting into the marae, or is it just there's this different, you need to do things in a different way in that environment?
Yeah, I guess the story goes, the root causes of how we get to be in this point in time and have such ecological degradation. It's a long story. So it starts with arrival of European settlers, traders, missionaries, and it involves the signing of Te Tiriti or Waitangi, and that agreement being ignored, the first parliament sitting in 1854, and the colonial government using its own powers to further the invasion and further the theft of land and resources from Māori. Mm. So in the 1960s, there was an invasion of the Waikato.
1960s?
Oh, 1860s.
Right, yeah. Sorry, we missed that one.
1.2 or 3 million acres confiscated, and in that same decade, the Native Land Court split up collective holdings of land by Māori. So the ongoing, way of thinking, which is also comes from the doctrine of discovery, which is 15th century, which is about if you go out and you find land, you can claim sovereignty over that land
if there's no Christians on it.
We had a song
on the radio that we played for a while that explained that.
That mindset of so with colonization has come it's based on stealing land resources.
Yeah, that's what the colonization project was to exploit resources. Yeah.
And then so from that you get capitalism, you get consumerism, you get materialism, you get a whole lot of isms, individualism versus, caring for the collective. So all these, that's what we have today. We have these systems which are based on a worldview of dominion over nature. So,
yeah.
we are the, you know, most powerful, most important, whereas the Māori worldview is that understands our interconnectedness, and so ours is all about our whakapapa, relationship, connections, respect, responsibility, a whole lot, a different mindset.
So how does that then work? Was, I mean, were, I mean, Māori would have had the that Western worldview, the exploitative worldview kind of enforced, and no doubt there were, well, there were attempts to make sure that Māori absorbed that worldview as well, I should think. So how does that, we then get back to zero waste and that issue, like how do we kind of bring that together? Like, and do you need to look at that wider picture to inform how you deal with the small issue of waste management on Marae?
So I guess what we're looking at is providing education, information to Marae and a whole lot of other Māori communities and non-Māori communities as well from a te ao Māori perspective. So we're looking at the root causes, but then, and we're also looking at how the system works, the five, you know, stages of extract resources, make stuff, distribute stuff all around the world, then yeah. use the stuff, and then throw the stuff away. So once we understand, you know, the system that we're in and how we got to be here, then we can create and design pathways to reduce our engagement with the system.
Okay, so so I can see, like, you need that, you do need that story for people to kind of engage on the issue, to, like, rather, because if there's some, I'll put it this way, if there's some middle class, some white middle class Pākehā out there saying everyone has to look after the environment, they're not going to connect because of the way they're doing well and who they are, that sort of thing, but with the context of that story, that the waste issue is part of the exploitation story, which is part of the colonization story, then that's a context that makes sense in the environment you're working in.
Absolutely. Like, for us, you know, we're not a, I guess what we're thinking of us, you know, people classify us as environmental, but or use the word sustainability. Going forward, I think it's more about building resilience, and with a changing climate, working out how, and also lots of global shocks and all those global impacts that are happening right now and that could worsen. It's about us working on our own resilience. I got a little bit lost there. I lost my train of thought. So well, if you could get me back on track, that would be good.
What I'm finding interesting is, like, there's often talk out there. I keep pointing to Hamilton for some reason in my head when I do this, but about people, like, it's about recycling, and there's some people saying, well, recycling is not really going to save the world, but this is not the way you're talking about. Is not, that's quite a superficial way to look at it, that we've just got to recycle because it's good for the environment. You're putting it in the context of a much bigger structural problem that we've got with the way we run things, which everyone would acknowledge, or most people would acknowledge, Māori and Pākehā, that the way that capitalism in the Western world works has got some issues. There's what economists call externalities, to put it in their language, which is what's screwing up the environment. Mm. So to put it, you've got, I think when you've got it in that context, you can do a better job of the recycling.
Okay, let's just stop here, because recycling is a false solution. It's, you know, the research shows that it actually increases the generation of waste.
Right.
And it really is a condoning you know, the status quo.
So it makes it okay to have waste because we can recycle it. Doesn't matter.
And recycling as a activity creates a lot of waste again.
Yeah.
It uses immense amounts of energy, and it also causes pollution to air, land and water. So there's nothing... Recycling should only be used when there absolutely is no opportunity for reuse.
Yeah.
We at Parakore, you know, I started at Extreme in 2004, and we were like the radicals recycling.
Yeah. Which seems funny now, doesn't it?
Aotearoa. And no, you know, no one, it wasn't normal. Yeah, everything was pretty much being shipped to landfill. Don't get me wrong, recycling is better than landfilling.
Yeah, keep recycling, okay? Folks. Okay. Yeah, don't stop.
Yeah, recycling is better than landfill, but I guess what I'm pointing out is that it is not a that we have to move up the waste hierarchy. We have to move to reduce and reuse. And so at the beginning, Parakore still did have a large focus on, you know, diverting materials from going to landfill, increasing the recycling. Over the last 25 years, there's practically been $0 invested in the top of the waste hierarchy, which is the redesign, the rethink, the reduce, the reuse. And all of the money has poured into the bottom of the cliff. So that's into, but basically into predominantly Asian international companies.
Yeah. So so at the bottom of the cliff, diverting the stuff just before it goes into the landfill, whereas at the top it's redesigned so that items are not landfill worthy when they come to the end of their life, that they're actually useful.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
Yeah. So it's about keeping everything going round and round. We cannot keep extracting materials from Papatūānuku, and we've already extracted enough. You know, we've already taken our fair share. What we're doing currently now is we're stealing resources from future generations. So what we need to do is keep everything cycling. We need circular systems for all our materials. We need circular systems for all our organic materials as well.
So for Parakore, I presume from that you started off introducing recycling systems onto marae, but now what does it look like?
So now
we're ignoring the funding change that happened last year. Where did you get to on this issue?
So where we've got to now is we have a whole range of different programs. So we have a Kura Waka, re-indigenizing Ikura. So that's a menstrual cycle, Te Ao Māori worldview, wānanga. We have a kupi tau taiao, which is a cloth nappy, a reusable cloth nappy program. We have He Mana Tō Te Kai, which is a food waste program. We have a whole range of composting wānanga as well.
Yeah.
And I'm just, we have a microgreens workshops. So we're just looking at how can we design out waste.
Yeah, so that circular mindset. And I guess by doing those things, if people are engaging with all those things, then they're picking up on that circular mindset, which you would say was the Māori way of doing things all along anyway, I imagine. Like most, all indigenous cultures pretty much were living that way because that was the only way to live, really. And I mean, there are people who say what we're doing at the moment is a temporary arrangement and we're going to have to get back to the circular approach anyway. Yeah. So I'm just interested in, like, communication, because I've seen, like, communicating to people the message. Like, I've seen how Extreme communicated to the community, and they used radio and the newspaper because that's all there was in the year 2000 when all that started. How does it work on marae? You know, like, it's a different environment, it's a bit more like as a group of people who clearly identify as a group together. So how do you go about communicating your message?
So I guess we use all the everyday normal social media channels, although we have been for some time thinking about Meta and how if we stay or if we leave Meta.
Or boycott, yeah.
Yeah, that's a tricky one.
Using the devil to get your message across, it's a compromising thing, isn't it?
Yeah. So in terms of communications, like, with Marae, like, for Marae themselves, how we centre our work is listen to what the Marae wants from us and then let them know, what our skills are, like how we could help them, what programs we have, and then provide whatever ones that they are interested in.
Yeah.
Marae have their own ways of communicating with themselves.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, you have to come in and listen first. Otherwise, the whole system's not going to, the internal system's not going to operate to the way you want anyway. Yeah. You're not going to be included in it.
Oh, yeah. And maybe just to kind of explain, like we used to have like this one program. It was our flagship program. It was called the Parakore program, very original.
Yes. So you're on the morning show right now, so I'm not going to criticise.
So, and it was available, and it was a program that helped Marae and schools and others work towards zero waste. When we had our funding cuts that were announced last May, because we had funding from the Community Environment Fund, we weren't able to continue that program. So
yeah.
So that's the program that we don't run and have readily available because we don't have the funding or the staffing to deliver it. So we work where where we have funding. Yeah.
Basically. So what does the organisation look like now? Like, what are you focused on now?
I guess we are actually focused on developing we're calling them interventions, but they probably won't continue to be called an intervention, but a program that offers a range of interventions or a range of modules for Marae. So whether it be around water security, food security, energy, climate, risk assessments, so a whole package that is easily presentable, and it enables Marae to then decide what they'd like to do.
Okay. So, and I guess that's been a stressful year last year.
Yeah, it was. We had to reduce and end some contracts. So, yeah, it was awful.
Yeah. when we were talking off the air about this, like this is a right-wing government that's done this, cutting the sources of funding for these programs. But the previous National League government, didn't do this. In fact, they were quite supportive, weren't they?
Yes, they
Relatively supportive.
Yeah, yes, they were relatively supportive. I think I remember is it Scott Simpson coming to Poihakina Marae, Minister Sage came at another time, but that was when the Labor government
was in. She was the Green Minister, yeah.
So, yes, the Waste Minimisation Fund came about at the time of a National-led government, and, they were, lots of MPs were very supportive of the Parakore mahi.
Yeah, so what for the future, what are your plans? Or are you just like, are you still at this trying to get through the transition kind of?
I feel like we've transitioned. I guess we want to develop our, in the business world they call them products, but our programs and continue to build partnerships with other mana whenua, kaupapa Māori. Entities, so our approach is definitely partnerships. We don't want to work in isolation, and so we have, you know, mana whenua partnerships throughout Aotearoa, dependent on what the program is. So, yeah. For example, if it's cloth nappies, kupi tau tile, then, you know, we're working with Māori prenatal, postnatal care groups, or with Māori whānau service providers.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're looking at how we can mahi tahi and partner with others.
So just kind of providing solutions for them to run with, basically, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, just working mahi tahi, collaborating, see how we can tautoko the work we're doing. For example, we're going to be at Mai Uanuku on Friday, from 10 to 2, with our reusable menstrual products. And if we get the opportunity, we're hoping to actually run a wānanga there at 11 a.m.
Okay. But not confirmed just yet.
No, I think it's confirmed.
All right, okay.
I think it's confirmed.
You need to check your email this morning to be certain. And what's the, just quickly before we go, like, what's the big picture that you'd like to achieve? Because from what you're saying, it's obviously more than recycling. It's probably more than zero waste on all Marae and Kura Kaupapa and all the organisations you've been talking about. Like,
yeah,
the big picture for you, what is
well,
it?
Well, our big vision is oranga taiao, oranga marae, oranga whānau. So in Te Ao Māori, we don't silo things. So we understand, I mean, I'm sure everyone understands that, you know, we cannot leave anyone behind. So we're not going to have sort of, if you phrase it like this, environmental outcomes if we don't have, you know, people who have homes and enough food to eat. So everything goes together. We need to work on everything at the same time. There's no kaupapa that's more important than any other in terms of working towards the well-being of our environment and our people, because people are environment. It's the same thing.
It's not reduced down to categories and things like that. That makes a lot of sense, and we can see that. And we all understand that if someone's in a desperate state for housing and income, then worrying about the environment way down their list of things.
Not important at all.
Yeah. All right, Jackie, thank you heaps for coming in this morning. That's Jackie Forbes from Parakore, and being there for the whole journey, not going away, obviously, from that just yet. So, thanks for coming in, and good luck.